By the way, I think our side did better. The scripture reading for today is chapter 12 of Luke, verses 32 to 40. On possessions first. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." On watchfulness. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jory. Thank you all who are participating in the worship service this day. Thank you for giving your love and passion to God. And I think both sides sounded equally lovely. Just so. And I went rogue in the hymn with a third round, but then I realized I was going to be the only one singing at the end, so I quickly got on board with side two over here. The sermon title for today is On Possessions and Watchfulness. And when I first typed out this sermon title in the bulletin, I had left off the S at the end of the word possessions, so it read On Possession and Watchfulness. Well, that would be a very different sermon, wouldn't it? On possession. Well, what a difference one little letter can make. Well, either fortunately or unfortunately for you, the sermon is not on possession. The sermon is on possessions and on watchfulness. Maybe on possession another time, we'll see. We are into the teachings of Jesus in Luke's gospel. That's where we are in our lectionary story. And the scripture picks up right where we left off last week on possessions. As you may remember, that was the theme. Jesus spoke a lot on possessions. What the disciples had, their resources, how much money they made, how they used those money, those were all ethical issues. And all had a bearing on how well they could serve the kingdom. Jesus was teaching the crowds, and oh, what a crowd had gathered. We don't know quite how many, but the number was in the thousands. But while Jesus was speaking to the thousands, his target audience was much, much smaller. He was speaking primarily to a group of 12, specifically his 12 disciples, of course. This passage that Jory just read for us represents those words of instructions to a group of 12 people with a very, very special calling. Not everyone could give up his or her possessions. Jesus knew that. Not everyone was supposed to. It was nearly impossible, almost as impossible as loving one's enemies. But this was what Jesus invited his disciples to do. This was the special calling for a very special group of people. He expected much from everybody. He expected everything from this group of 12, this group of 12 disciples. But it also needs to be said that the door of discipleship is not closed. The door of discipleship is never closed. If there were others from among the thousands who would hear, who could respond, they were welcome. The door of discipleship is open. And the same is true for us as well. We are not in that special group of 12. We are not in that select group that Jesus called, but the door of discipleship is always open. We are always welcome to respond. And the only one, or the only thing standing in the threshold, in the door, blocking the door, is us. And if we get over ourselves and step out of the way, then God is open to working through us and around us and doing what God can do. Jesus concluded his teachings on possessions in this section with this beautiful verse, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that was general enough for everyone. Something we can all appreciate, something we can all understand. Whether we give up our specific possessions or not, we know where our heart is. We know what our priorities are. We know what's most important in our life. Knowing where our heart is tells us everything we need to know about our priorities in life. From this discussion on possessions, Jesus moved very quickly into the discussion on watchfulness. Be ready. Be prepared. Be on guard. And again, the message is specifically to the 12, but also for anyone who would hear, anyone who could respond. Are you ready? Are you prepared? For what? Something big. Something big was about to happen. The disciples could feel the energy. They knew something big was happening. They knew that they were building towards something, and they were. They didn't know, but we know because we have the benefit of having the entire Bible before us. Jesus and his disciples were marching toward Jerusalem. And as we know, that was a one-way ticket for Jesus. Things would happen very quickly in that last week for Jesus on earth. We move very quickly from triumphal entrance to teaching, to challenge, to arrest, to trial, to crucifixion, to resurrection. Were the disciples ready for it? Are you ready, disciples? Oh, yes, we're ready. Are you sure you're ready? Oh, yes, we're sure we're ready. Well, guess how ready they were? They were ready to betray him. They were ready to deny him. They were ready to hide away in that secret private room for 2.5 months after the resurrection. And when they finally came out, they were ready to get back to their old lives as quickly as possible. And when Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee, that's where he found them, fishing again. Question before us is not, are we prepared for Jesus' death and resurrection? The question before us is, are we prepared for his return? Are we prepared for his second coming? Are we prepared for that moment when we meet Jesus face to face? Whether we're going to see him or he's coming to see us, there will come a time when we will meet Jesus face to face. Are we ready? Are our hearts prepared? For some, this is a comforting prospect. For others, this is an absolutely terrifying prospect. And even some of the language that Jesus used in this passage on watchfulness sounds terrifying. Jesus spoke of a thief coming in the middle of the night, which was common imagery in Jesus' day. But for us, that plays upon our worst fears, right? We don't even like it when somebody comes to our door in the daytime unannounced, let alone a thief coming in the middle of the night. Some of us don't even like when we get a phone call on our mobile devices. Why are they calling me? Why don't they just text? Who is this? How did they get my number? Why are they calling? We live in a very different world. There was a time when it was just expected that somebody might pop by. And you were always ready. You were dressed. Your hair was done. You were ready with snacks, coffee, tea, cakes. And it was usually a wonderful surprise. Friends. There they are, friends coming to visit. Throw open the door wide. Welcome them in. Sit down. Catch up. Have tea and cake and cookies and coffee. And it was a lovely time. Who comes to the door today? Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons. Solicitors selling windows, solicitors selling doors, solicitors selling their pest services, and they always ask me, what are you doing about pests? And I say, I'm closing the door. If you're lucky anymore, you get Girl Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies. That's always welcome. Whew. Girl Scout cookies. For a moment, I thought I was going to have to give account for my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's exhausting. Being ready to do that all the time at a moment's notice, no one can do it. It's not humanly possible. Plus, when you look at the metaphor, there feels like a real paradox, a real contradiction in terms. Be ready all the time. Be ready for that. For which you can't possibly be ready, because no one can be ready like that, at that level, all the time. It's angst-producing. Makes us nervous, gets us worked up. Well, take heart. This passage is not supposed to give us anxiety. This passage is supposed to give us peace. Look at the opening verse that Jory read. Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's a lovely thought. We hear God's thoughts. We hear God's intentions. God wants to give us the kingdom. God wants to throw wide open the door. God wants to spend eternity with us. God wants to give us forever. So in the midst of our uncertainty, we are given this very certain message. Do not be afraid. And do not be afraid, little flock. Even more assuring, we are the little flock. We are the little sheep. We are the ones that God has gathered. We are the ones that God wants to gather into the fold and take care of us. God wants this. And we see and know God's heart. So this combination of fear and reassurance isn't new in Scripture. When the shepherds were out watching their flocks by night, the angel appeared. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid." When the angel appeared to Zechariah, he was terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." When the angel appeared to Mary, she was terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." When the angel appeared to Joseph, he was terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." In other words, though the idea of meeting God to some of us sounds terrifying, it is going to be more an experience of comfort than we realize. Do not be afraid, little children. Do not be afraid, little flock. God wants to care for you. God wants to gather you in. And when you love God, you've got nothing to worry about. You can sleep well at night, even if it is the second coming, and even if it feels like a thief coming in the middle of the night. Sleep well and know that you are loved. Martin Luther, the head of the Protestant Reformation, and John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination, had much in common. They lived a couple hundred years apart, but they had so much in common. They shared a theology. They were both brilliant scholars, well-read. They would study the Scripture. They would practice the Scripture. They would preach the Scripture. They would fast for hours. They would pray for hours. But both of them dealt with a lot of anxiety in their lives. And both of them dealt with a lot of spiritual anxiety. And they kept feeling like this was not enough. No matter how much they gave, no matter how much they did, no matter how much they opened their hearts to God, it wasn't enough. What more can I do? Is it enough? Am I worthy? Am I saved? Amazing when I think that these two figures who were such pillars of the church thought to themselves from time to time, it's not enough. I'm not saved. Fortunately, both of these figures also experienced God's grace, God's love, God's throwing that door open wide, God receiving them, God embracing them, God bringing them home, God welcoming them home. The divine voice of reassurance telling them, you are enough. You are enough. Not because of all this stuff you're doing. I love that stuff. It's great. But that is not why you are enough. You are enough because I am love. And I welcome you. And I throw open my arms wide and I receive you. And that, in essence, was the exact same thing as God telling them, do not be afraid, little flock. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So be ready, friends. Let your hearts be ready. Stay in love with God. Stay in love with one another. Be faithful to one another in this world. But be at peace. Be at peace with God. Be at peace with your neighbor. For it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.